One of the things I've noticed over the last few days has been seeing stories in the newspapers I follow and the social media about some of the commencement speeches that are happening at this time of the year in the US at various universities and colleges. And I hadn't really ever thought too much about them before and thought, well, commencement speeches must be when students start at the beginning of their university careers. It was actually part of the graduation ceremonies. And I was thinking, hang on, why do you have commencement speeches at a graduation ceremony? And then realizing, well, I guess it's because the students are finishing one part of their life, their formal education, and they're now commencing the rest of their life, their work, and whatever it is that will mark and shape them. And it's a good reminder on this Trinity Sunday, when we're given the Great Commission as our gospel to reflect on. It's the very conclusion to the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus meets with the disciples at the agreed place, which in the Gospel of Matthew can be no other place but a mountain. Everything significant in the Gospel of Matthew happens on a mountain. It's the place where Jesus wants his disciples to come and be formed. And they gather, and we're told that most of them bow down in worship, but a few of them, we're told, hesitate, withdraw, they doubt, they're not quite sure about all of this. And the word that Matthew uses there is distazo, and it's only used twice in the whole of the New Testament. And both times are in the Gospel of Matthew. And the other time is in Matthew 14, verse 31, where they've had fed the crowd there on the lake while Jesus has waited on the shore to pray. And the disciples are tossed about in the waves and the wind and the storm. Jesus comes walking, he invites them to faith. And Simon says, hey, if it's you, tell me to come to you across the water. Jesus says, come. Peter gets out of the boat, starts walking, and begins to sink once he takes his eyes off of Jesus. And Jesus says to him, you of little faith, why did you distazo? Why did you doubt? So it's a good reminder of that this community that has had the experience of encountering Jesus after the resurrection, haven't yet had Pentecost, but they've encountered the Lord, they've seen him, they've been commissioned already, they've received the gift of the Holy Spirit in some ways. And yet, some worship and some doubt. So for us to kind of have those questions in our minds is not a bad thing. You know, it doesn't prevent us from being part of this community that Jesus addresses. But then to this community, he makes this bold statement, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then we get what we call the Great Commission. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the commands that I have given you. Now, if you're a grammar nerd, you might have spotted that there are four different verbs in that Great Commission. Can you know what they are? Go, therefore, make disciples, teaching them, baptizing them, or baptizing them and teaching them. Now, if you're even more of a grammar nerd, well, I've changed the Jerusalem Bible because it puts it into just a present. But the baptizing and the teaching are both in the present continuous. So they're both words of describing the kinds of actions that we need to keep on doing for the rest of our lives. Go is in the passive voice. There's only one of those verbs that is in the active imperative. So an imperative is a commandment, something that we're obliged with, that the Lord is inviting us, in ordering us to do. And that's the word make disciples. And it is a single word there in the Greek. But the problem is that across the history of the church, we've been pretty good at baptizing, particularly babies, because babies can't run away, babies can't object and can't kind of complain. So we like baptizing babies because we get the job done before they can run away, or before the two-year-olds and they start saying, no, I don't want to get baptized. Teaching, we're not too bad at teaching. You know, we've got lots of Catholic schools and we have programs of catechesis and all of that. So baptizing and teaching, we've been pretty good at that. And to some extent, the making, the go, we send missionaries out. But unfortunately, most of the missionaries, all they've done is baptize and teach. But the thing we haven't really done is the driving heart of the Great Commission, which is that imperative word to make disciples, to live that out fully. Because the disciple is essentially just a student. Mateo is the Greek word. So it's not someone that has it all together, that is sorted out, has every answer to every question that we've ever imagined. A student is someone that can make mistakes, someone who can be part of that crowd who doubts, as well as those who fall down in worship. To be a disciple doesn't mean we've got it all sorted. As Bishop Brian tells us in this week's portion of Come and See, Go and Make, is that we're invited to grow in our faith, that we're invited to have that vision of what our parish might be, to kind of inspire us into that example of how do we live like this. There's a story that's told in the Jewish Talmud, which was a series of kind of reflections and homilies and kind of commentaries on the scriptures written about the time of Jesus and for the next couple of centuries. And one of the images that they use there of how do you grow to be a faithful rabbi? How do you grow in that experience of being a rabbi? And the image that they use is, well, a disciple, a student, has to be covered in the dust of the rabbi. You know, it's the rabbi kind of walked along the road, the dusty road, there would be dust that would be flown up. And to have that sense of being covered in the dust of their rabbi, that's our invitation. You know, how much are we covered in the dust of Jesus? We can be covered in all kinds of dust. You know, the social media and the news and kinds of all the influences that surround us. All of their teachings, all of their instruction, all of their words can kind of shape us and mold us, and we can be covered in that dust. But the instruction, the call, the invitation is to be covered in the dust of Jesus, to see what he does, to live our lives in conformity to his, to get to know him, to be instructed and formed and shaped by his word. That's the way of life in the Trinity. That's the way that we're invited into, to that experience of discovering him more and more, to allow his love to sustain us, to call us, to lead us. And he tells us at the end of the Great Commission, but lo, I am with you always, yes, until the end of time. Again, it's been one of those themes that we've seen in the Gospel of Matthew. At the very beginning, we were told in the prophecy that Jesus would be the Emmanuel, the with us God, the God who would dwell among us, not lord it over us, not be separate from us, but he would guide us and walk with us. And then later in the Gospel of Matthew, he tells us that where two or three of you are gathered, that I am there in your midst, that all we need to do to grow to be disciples is to meet together, to study together, to pray together, to learn together, that we're formed and shaped by God's word in order to grow more, to be like Jesus. But as we grow, we have to share that with others. We have to open the way of the gospel to those around us. The sleeping giant of the Catholic Church has long been dormant, has long failed in that task of making disciples, of allowing others to be covered in the dust of Jesus. But today we need to start, and the bishop is inviting us more deeply, more faithfully, to live that message, to be people who are shaped and formed by his word, so that we can share that good news with those around us. Let's indeed allow the Lord to call us to be his faithful disciples, to respond to that call, and then to share that love with those around us today.